Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's devotion is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 23 and following, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had compassion, pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. This is our text. It's that time of year again, decades ago, when those little acorns planted themselves. They housed within them, they had nested within them, the oak trees, and now the oak leaves are sort of dried up and they're crawling along the concrete like crayfish, or they're blowing back and forth because of the wind. It's fall again. Spring, not too long ago. A number of years ago, it was the spring. And spring will certainly come just as God is faithful. Every single year, he brings us the seasons. The school year, though, however, years ago, was drawing to a close. And a Ukrainian student who had taken a number of my courses dropped by and presented me with a gift, much cherished gift that I have to this day. It was a matryoshka, or a Russian nested doll. You've seen them before. This one bore the hand-painted gold and red images on the front, carved out wooden dolls, housing within each one of them another smaller doll. And if you do a kind of a C-section cut turn and lift it, it delivers to you another doll. And if you do that to the other one, it does the same thing, and all of a sudden you have 10 dolls, each of them smaller than the other one. Now, from this doll has been derived the nested doll principle. Whenever you see a recognizable relationship of an object within a similar object, it goes by this name, the matryoshka principle. And today's parable of the unforgiving servant elaborates the matryoshka principle with a twist, A story within a story, which on every level just does the opposite of what the first one does, of the main story within which it is housed. Now, because I was assigned a very long text and our 15-minute window hardly allows time, I'm going to cut to the chase. Now, this certain king is God, and those who owe the overwhelming debt, of course, that's us. Imagine around a $10 million debt that you owed, impossible to pay it off. And that represents us as sinners. Now, a talent weighed somewhere between 60 and 80 pounds, depending upon the country that you were in. So consider one talent, 60 pounds. This man owes 10,000 talents. That's about 300 tons that he's carrying upon his back, if you want to consider from a weight vantage point. And he was driven to repentance when he realized there was no way he was going to pay it off. And so he fell at the feet of the master. And guess what? This is a representative of God, the very nature of God, who is a loving God, who forgives sin. What did he do? He had compassion upon him. That's the God we serve, a God of compassion. And when we are driven to repentance, realizing that we cannot pay the debt that we owe, we've all sinned against God. What does God do? In Jesus Christ, God has had compassion upon us, and he has forgiven you all your sins. But in the nested story here, rather than being thankful to God, the servant, who himself has a servant, who owes him a much smaller debt. Now, when I was studying this, it really does come down to comparing to about $10 million to about $20. This guy owed him just $20. And what did he do? He ran up to him. He grabbed him by the throat. He's going to strangle him. He had no compassion upon him, just the opposite of his master. And he throws him in prison. Ah, but the king hears about this. His failure to forgive summons him, calls him a wicked servant, asks him why he had done, not done to others what he as the king had done to him, forgiven him his debt. Real revelation comes to us in realizing that this set of fictive, nested stories is nested in a real story involving Peter, who has just come to Jesus and has asked him, how many times should we forgive people? And Peter knows what the rabbis say. You can't find the rabbis saying more than three times. That's what they hold to. So what? Peter thinks, well, how about seven times? How many times should I forgive people when they come to me? Seven times? To which Jesus replies, 70 times seven. And then he tells them the story that we've heard. Notice how he ends the story, speaking it to Peter, but then those who are also overhearing it. And that's us today. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. No one has the Spirit of Christ enlivening their life who is not willing to forgive others. That's the fundamental principle. Because we have a fallen nature, we have that fundamental principle within us. But God has called us to a new life and has given us a new forgiving life. This principle is housed in the Lord's Prayer. Remember where Jesus teaches us to forgive us our, in one version, in the Matthew version, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that version with the word debts in Matthew recalls precisely that our story is about a debt of sin that we owe to God that we cannot remove from ourselves, but it's been forgiven fully and freely through the compassionate, loving heart of our God, our Savior. The real nested story then is our lives. Not Peter's life. That's the story we carry with us, right? But we are nested within that story. We are God's story, as St. Paul says in his second epistle to the Corinthians. We are his story written in living flesh, written on tablets of flesh, a living epistle, a living story, notice, read by all men. You're a story. We are a story in how we deal with one another and whether or not we forgive them. Forgive one another as you have been forgiven. You know, and if you think you have issues, right, with people, how can I forgive her, him, them? Remember Jesus Christ. Luke's gospel reminds us that as soon, immediately, as Jesus was crucified on the cross, he said immediately what? Father, destroy those unbelievers. I call upon 20 legions of angels to wipe them out. God, bring down fire and brimstone. Wipe them off the face of the earth and wipe off their children. No, that's not what Jesus said. That's maybe what we might be tempted to say. He said, Father, forgive them. The Son of God, who had had all these things done against him, said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. As St. Paul said to the Ephesians, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. For keep in mind, are you with me, this mystical biblical truth signified by the Matryoshka dolls, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And you and I were within Christ on the cross, so that when he died, your sins and mine were wiped away. And therefore, he took away our sins and rose again, signifying the exact kind of resurrection that awaits us, his forgiven and forgiving saints. Amen. And pray. Eternal God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one time out of a thousand when you contend with us. But with all our hearts, we thank you that you have taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him to atone for it. We pray, graciously sustain us in faith, and so govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may live according to your will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur your wrath, but always find in you a gracious Father. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Sufficient shall be your supply, the flame.
And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.